I brought some money with me this morning. Jonathan asked me what I was going to be talking about, I said, well, I'm going to be using some banknotes. He said, oh, are you going to be throwing banknotes into the congregation? I said, no, not quite. I've got the old style £10 note, and I've got the new style £5 note. These are the sort of notes I kind of remember, and when I was growing up in South Africa, we had rand notes, of course, and they probably weren't as strong as these ones. These are quite tough, even though they're old-fashioned now. Now, if you put these through the wash a couple of times, what happens to them? They sort of get a bit dog-eared, don't they? And they go all squashy and, you know, yeah. And if you keep putting them through the wash, eventually they kind of go into a little ball and they get all stuck together, don't they? And then if you have to pull them apart, sometimes they get torn. And then you've lost your £10 or £20 or whatever. Which can be a bit worrying. And then, you know, we've all heard the debate about the new note. All the things about the new note, all the talk. There was that artist, what did he do? He put some engravings on it and they then became really valuable, and if he put them into circulation, and then if you found one, they were worth £100,000 or something. I looked out very carefully, but I never seemed to find one. Now these ones, one probably can feel like they seem quite indestructible, don't they? You could probably put this through the wash, what, about 10 times before it started to, it might even still come out fine. Although I guess if you put it on a really hot wash, that would be interesting to see what happened. It would probably meld together like a piece of plastic and, you know, come out squashed like the others. Oh, what do you do? What do you do when you do that? Because I'm well known for doing that. I leave money in my pockets, and then put them through the wash and then find them. It's quite nice if you find them afterwards and you've forgotten about them and you think, oh gosh, I had that, that's nice. But if they're destroyed, well, they're destroyed, I guess. But I did find out this week that the Bank of England does offer some hope in the situation. Because as long as you can prove that you have half the note in some form, you can fill in a form, take it to your local bank, and they will give you the note back. They'll give you a brand new one. So you've got to have half of the note, which I sort of think if you put it through the wash a couple of times, probably you won't even have. But you've got to have half the note, and you can fill in a form, and the Bank of England will let you have another one. Well, that would be quite unexpected if you thought that you had completely lost all hope, and you put quite a bit of money through the wash, although these ones are quite indestructible, but let's say about these ones, and then you were found out that you were able to fill in a form and you could get another one. Kind of unexpected that would be. Our story of Moses, it's an incredible story. It's one of those stories that I think all of us kind of remember from Sunday school. I have vivid memories of Sunday school with boards with characters stuck to the board and the teacher telling a story about Moses and the baby was in the basket. And it's a story we quite like to tell children because there's something about it. There's something quite lovely about the idea of this baby in the basket. And when you actually sit down to read the story, and you read the incredible details of the story about how Pharaoh was really angry and oppressed the Israelites, and he told the midwives that, you know, they must possibly murder all the firstborn baby boys, just baby boys. And these midwives absolutely refused to do it. And the scriptures tell us that God blessed them greatly because they refused to do what Pharaoh had said. These incredible women who face the ire of Pharaoh and yet are so strong and able to resist. And then you think of the story of Moses' mother and his sister. And how, if you think that the story is actually quite negative, the thought of, you know, being so terrified for your child that you have to put them in a basket and hide them in the bulrushes. And she really didn't know what was going to happen. And there's this incredible story, and you kind of get to that point in the story where she places the baby down and the Egyptians come along, and you think, oh, it's one of those stories like in Shakespeare almost, where you think, oh, you know, what's going to happen now? And there's this moment where Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby, and the baby is saved by that person who is expected to be the enemy. Isn't that so much of the gospel? Isn't that so much of how we hear through Scripture, how God takes situations that seem to be where everything is gone, everything is lost, there seems to be no hope, and he completely turns the situation around to fulfill his plan. His plan for that baby, his plan for Israel. Unexpected faith, unexpected hope, unexpected light and peace in the situation. Now, we know from the story it wasn't all plain sailing for Moses after that, but there were those moments, and that moment after his birth is quite remarkable. It's the story of Jesus' birth that we will be celebrating. Oh, I say this as your vicar, not too long from now, Christmas time. There's a lot to get through between now and the 25th of December. But the story of Jesus' birth, incredible moments, incredible, unusual times where people who didn't expect to be involved are involved, the shepherds, unexpectedly and yet joyfully. How hope comes to us unexpectedly. And God offers us more than the Bank of England, I'm glad to say, in that we don't have to turn up with half a note to prove that what we had was what we had. We don't have to. God accepts us for who we are, without reservation. God comes to us. God accepts us completely, no reservation. That, to me, is amazing. And if you think back to the story of Israel and baby Moses, and even further back than him, the wonderful story and plan of God's salvation for the world, those light moments throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament and beyond to St. Paul and the saints that came after, those moments, God's plan of salvation, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace. And we live in a very dark time at the moment. We hear of great sadness, great war, great difficulty in the world. And sometimes it's really, really hard to believe that God is still working. But the great thing, my friends, is that we know from Scripture, we know from Jesus and our belief in him as the Son of God, we know of God's amazing plan of salvation and that God's light and peace continues to work in the world, even in times of great darkness. Amen.